Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, July 28, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, the whole chapter describing a war that goes on inside of each one of us. Romans 7. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, which enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 7. In verses 15 to 17, we have the first attack of the sin nature. Verse 15, for what is working out of me, what I am producing, sin, human good and evil, I do not understand, for what I desire to do, wish to do, want to do, these things I am not practicing or accomplishing. But what I detest, what I hate, these things I keep on doing. Verse 16, now if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire or want to do, I agree with the law, the Mosaic law, that it, the law, is honorable, praiseworthy, and unobjectionable. Verse 17. But in this situation, I am no longer the one performing it, but the sin nature which keeps on living in me. And then the second attack of the sin nature is verses 18 to 20. In fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. For the will, the resolve, the purpose is present in me, but the accomplishment of that which is honorable and virtuous absolutely is not present. Verse 19. For the intrinsic good which I desire, I do not do. But I keep on practicing this very evil, which evil I do not want to do. Verse 20. Now, if I am doing this very thing which I do not desire to do, first class condition, and I am no longer the one bringing it about or accomplishing it, but the sin nature which resides inside of me. And then verse 21. So you see, I discovered this principle. When I desire to do the honorable thing, evil resides in me. Now, what is the honorable thing? The honorable thing is to obey the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ, given in the Word of God, the mind of Christ. The honorable thing is to live the unique spiritual life God has given us by the grace and the power of God. The honorable thing is to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which enables us to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And the honorable thing then is to grow up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The honorable thing is to attain the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and that is to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, that motivates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. The evil of the sin nature has been with all of us since our physical birth. At that moment of physical birth, evil came to reside in all of us. Through the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature. And therefore, the sin nature with its trends towards sin, human good, and evil is always at hand and ready to take control of our life. And the Apostle Paul, when we get to Romans chapter 8, and we are going to get there, apart from the rapture, and I tell you, the more I see what's going on, the rapture could be or tomorrow or today. Romans 8:8. Those who are in the flesh, controlled by the sin nature, cannot please God. If you're out of fellowship with God and the sin nature is controlling your life, there's nothing you do that can please God. Remember, the sin nature produces sin, yes, and you might say, well, I know that doesn't please God, but also human good. And there are lots of believers who are out of fellowship with God, living by the power of their sin nature, producing human good, dead works, and they don't please God at all. They are religious. They don't please God. They have human good, dead works. They don't please God because they're out of fellowship with God, being controlled by the sin nature. When you are out of fellowship, controlled by the sin nature, you cannot, you will not please God. You must be in fellowship with God, living by the grace and power of God, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 22. For I delight, I am pleased with, and rejoice in the law from the source of God. What is the law from the source of God? The Word of God. And when you are living the spiritual life, The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And for those believers living the spiritual life, you find a sound Bible teaching church and you get your little patootie in there and sit down and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You learn the Word of God. You learn the Word of God. You learn the Word of God. And when you do that, you will have Christmas every single day. You'll be merry Christmas. Happy. You will be happy. You will have happiness in your soul. You will share the happiness of God day after day after day, every day of your life. That's what the Word of God produces. You share the happiness of God. Plus H. Every moment, every day, day after day. Christmas every single day, Thanksgiving every single day. And so we have in verse 22, for I delight, I am pleased with, I rejoice, I am happy in the law from the source of God. The law from the source of God, the Word of God, Bible doctrine, with respect to my inner man, my soul. When you get the Word of God in your inner man, in your soul, you have something else in your soul you take with you everywhere you go. And that is the happiness of God. And that happiness of God is with you constantly. God is the source of the Word of God. The objective of the plan of God for the believer is to get the Word of God, Bible doctrine, into your inner man, your soul. The objective is to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The believer is then delighted, pleased, and happy. He shares the happiness of God as a result of having a maximum amount of the Word of God in his inner man, in his soul. The soul is the battleground in this great conflict that Paul is describing in Romans chapter 7, and which he summarizes. What he's teaching in Romans chapter 7 in great detail, he summarizes in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with one another, so that you do not do what you want. So in Galatians, he summarizes what he takes an entire chapter in Romans chapter 7 to describe. So the soul is the battleground in this great conflict. The soul is the issue. Everything is decided in the soul. What you think is what you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. The Word of God in the heart is not only the means of attaining spiritual maturity and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, but it is also the means of combating the attack of the sin nature. This battle is won by living the unique spiritual life that God has given to us by His grace and His power. The power of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on living, walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18, keep on growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit, then, not only provides for the perception and metabolization of the Word of God, but also provides so that you can apply the Word of God. Through the filling of the Spirit, now you can apply truth to your life skillfully and accurately to whatever's going on in life. Every situation, every circumstance, you have the Word of God in your heart, absolute truth. By the filling of the Spirit, you can apply that truth to everything going on in your life. The Word of God not only defines sin, but it also reveals the true nature of the sin nature with its lust patterns and trends of sin, human good, and evil. Now today, unfortunately, many, many believers become casualties by succumbing to the lust patterns of the sin nature and its trends of sin, human good, and evil. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know God's objectives for you. Those objectives are, He wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay. When you believe in Christ, you're a baby. You're a spiritual baby. Now, you might be 90 years old, but when you believe in Christ, you're a spiritual baby. And God doesn't want you to stay a baby. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up from a babyhood, spiritual baby, to spiritual adolescence, to spiritual maturity. He wants you to grow up. That's experiential sanctification. He wants you to attain spiritual maturity. He wants you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So His objective is for you to grow up. To grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His objective is for you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2. And in our Thursday night class, we are studying 1 John, and there is the greatest book on the doctrine of virtue love, 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, John writes, If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying His Word, the mandates of the Word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in his heart. So your enemy is constantly trying to distract you away from living this unique spiritual life of the church age. Your enemy, and we have enemies. We have, first of all, the temporary ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel. He's in charge of the world right now. And you see it everywhere, and it makes you sick. I've been in track and field from the time I was in sixth grade. And in fact, at one time, I was even training to compete in the Olympic Games. And then I got acute mononucleosis, and was out of commission for 6 months. So, and I prayed. I said, I've been accepted at Dallas Theological Seminary. I says, God, I've been accepted at Dallas Seminary, but the Olympics are going to be here, and I've always wanted to compete in the Olympics, so I'm going to go ahead and train for the Olympics, and if that's not what you want me to do, show me. Bam! Acute mononucleosis. I was so sick. I was at Wazoo, Washington State. My friends had to pile me in a car, take me up to Spokane, put me in a hospital. And they said, you have acute mononucleosis. I said, okay, well, what does that mean? You're not going to do anything for 6 months. I go, okay. And then as the doctor left, I said, okay, Father, you made that clear. We're going to Dallas Seminary. We're not going to go to the Olympics. We're going to Dallas Seminary and prepare for the ministry. So we have an enemy. And the enemy is the temporary ruler of planet Earth, and I have been watching some of the Olympics, and it made me bilious when they, at the Olympic Games, the Lord's Supper conducted by drag queens. Drag queens conducting the Lord's Supper. Who's in charge of planet Earth? And it's not just America that's in apostasy and degeneracy. The whole world is in degeneracy. And it just made me sick. We're going to have the Lord's table next Sunday. In God's eyes, it is the most important. It's an opportunity for you to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in a very intensified way. And there's even a warning in the passage on the Lord's table to make sure you come to the Lord's table in fellowship with God. In fellowship, not out of fellowship with God. We have enemies. The ruler of planet Earth right now, Satan, his name, Satan, means adversary, enemy. He's our enemy. He's the ruler of planet Earth. He's our enemy. He has an inside agent. The inside agent is the sin nature. And that sin nature is at work trying to get you out of fellowship with God. When that happens, it gets you into Satan's cosmic system. He's your enemy. And he tries to get you to crash and burn. But God has given to you everything by his grace and his power to honor and glorify him in your life, no matter what's going on, in great prosperity or in great adversity or suffering or illness. Makes no difference. You can glorify God to the maximum. And God has, for the winner believer, this great package of blessing called Greater Grace Blessing. And in that Greater Grace Blessing package, he has a unique category. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Only is given to the winner believer. For the winner believers who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, who attain spiritual maturity, you now qualify to receive undeserved suffering for blessing to glorify God in suffering as you glorify God in prosperity. And the winner believer glorifies God in his suffering, undeserved suffering, just as much as he glorifies God in great prosperity. So we do have enemies. The enemy is the fallen angel Satan and his inside agent, the sin nature. All right. Now that brings us to verse 23. I want you to notice verse 22 again, for I delight, I am pleased with, I rejoice, I am happy in the law from the source of God, in the Word of God, in Bible doctrine that I've learned and believed and is in my heart with respect to the inner man, my soul. That's fantastic. That's great. Now we have the contrast. Verse 23. But, first word in the King James, but. Oh, that was. But. I see another law in my members. This is the conjunction de plus the present active indicative of blepo plus the accusative singular of namas modified by the accusative singular of heteros plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of melos with a definite article and the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. This is a very important conjunction of contrast. De, D-E, yes, this is correctly translated But, and it sets up a contrast. First of all, contrasting verse 22 with verse 23. Secondly, contrasting the law from the source of God, the Word of God, with the law in the members of my body, the sin nature. Third, it sets up a contrast between the Word of God with the sin nature. And fourth, it sets up a contrast between the Spirit of God with the lust patterns and the trends of the sin nature, sin, human good, and evil. And then we have blepo. Blepo, B-L-E-P, long O, blepo. And this is where we get our English word blip. But it has a more of a meaning than that. One, literally, blepo describes the activity of our physical eyes. The activity of our physical eyes. It means to see, it means to look at. That's part of blepo. Two, it means to be able to see in contrast with being blind. Three, it also means to regard. For it is used of mental functions. So four, blepo is used of mental functions to direct one's attention towards something, to consider something, to note. So it's used of mental functions. And five, it is also used of the mental perception. Mental perception, as in our verse, and is correctly translated to discover. To discover, to find. So blepo is also used of mental perception, as it's used in our verse. To discover, to find. Six, blepo is used when verse 22 is reality. You delight in the Word of God. You delight in Bible doctrine that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. And now, as a result of that, you discover something. So blepo is used when verse 22 is reality. You delight in the law of God, the Word of God. You have maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, and now you blepo, you discover something. Seven, you discover that you have a war going on inside of you. You discover that you have a war going on inside of you. You have a great inner conflict, and we all have this. Every one of you here is a believer in Christ. You have this. You discover you have a war going on inside of you, a great inner conflict. Eight, Paul, the human writer of Romans, uses himself as the illustration of this blepo, this discovery of the inner conflict. The Apostle Paul, the human writer of Romans, uses himself as the illustration of this blepo, this discovery of this inner conflict. Nine, so from learning the Word of God, learning the Word of God, learning the Word of God, you discover there is another law. And that's what we have here. Another law, heteros nomos. Heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, and nomos, N-O-M-O-S. Heteros, nomos. The adjective heteros means another of a different kind. Another of a different kind. And it refers to our enemy. the enemy. Namas is a rule governing one's actions or a principle. And here we have a different kind of principle. So point 10, this different kind of principle, the enemy, resides en tois melason mou, in my members, in the human body, and that is the sin nature. So this different kind of principle, the enemy, en tois melason mou, resides in my members, in the human body, and that is the sin nature. So, corrected translation, but I discover a different principle in the members of my human body. And then we have warring against the law of my mind. This is the present middle participle of antistrategomai. That's a 25-cent word right there. I hope I can get it on. Antistrategomai, plus the dative singular of namas with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of nous with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of personal pronoun ego. All right, let's see if we can get this on there. Anti, draw. Antistrategomai. Antistrategomai. Okay. Okay, have you remember this word in our class? No, you didn't, because this is hapax legomenon. This is the only time this word is ever found in the scriptures. I just trying to see if I get you. Antistrategomai. All right. One. Oh, by the way, this is not only a hapax legomenon, it's the only time this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not in the Septuagint. It's not in any other Greek version of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's very likely this is something that the Apostle Paul in his human genius coined a word, and God the Holy Spirit put it in here. One, antistrategomai is a compound word made up of anti, that's against, and strategomai, which means to go to war. Antistrategomai, compound word made up of anti, against, and stratego, to go to war. So, point two, obviously, antistrategomai is a military term, and it means to go to war against someone. To go to war against someone. Three, the old sin nature in the members of my human body is antistrategomai, constantly going to war. Constantly going to war. Present tense, linear action start. Constantly going to war against to namo to nous mu, the law of my mind. The sin nature in the members of my human body is constantly going to war. Linear action start, present tense, against the law of my mind. Four, this war goes on and will keep on going on inside of us all the way up to the point of physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. So this war will keep on going on inside of us, believers in Jesus Christ, until physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first, and after physical death or the rapture? Well, if it's the rapture, you immediately have a resurrection body. And guess what? You don't have any sin nature in your resurrection body. So it's gone forever. So 4, this war goes on until we depart from this life by physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. 5, as long as we are in this life, there is a war going on inside of us, and that's our word, antistrategomai, to go to war against someone. So the corrected translation, but I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind. But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind. And then we see something else. You can be taken as a prisoner, captured as a prisoner by the sin nature. And that you want to, that describes many, many, many Christians today. They're prisoners of war. They are prisoners of war. And that's exactly what this is saying here. But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. This is the conjunction kai plus the present active participle of eich malotizo plus the accusative singular of the personal pronoun ego plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of namas with a definite article plus the genitive singular of hamartia with the definite article. The conjunction kai is the connective kai. Translate that and. And now we have military term number 2. We had the first one, hapax legomenon, antistrategomai. Now we have military term number 2, eich malotizo. That's A-I-C-H-M-A-L, long O-T-I-Z, long O. Eich malotizo. All right. 1. Eich malotizo is also a military term. It means to be captured in war. To be captured in war. Three, figuratively, it means to make one a prisoner. To make one a prisoner. It literally means captured in war. It means to make one a prisoner. The personal pronoun ego in the accusative is me, making me a prisoner, and making me a prisoner. The preposition en plus the dative singular of namas, to the law, to the principle of the genitive singular of hamartia in the singular, the sin nature. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia in the plural, personal sins. Hamartia in the singular, most of the time the sin nature, and that's how it's used here. So, corrected translation. But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law of the sin nature. Hey, get that again. But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of the sin nature, which is in my members. And this is the articular present active participle of eimi, to be verb, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative plural of melos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. The articular participle of eimi functions as a substantive, a noun. And you translate it, which sin nature is. Which sin nature is, and then en tois melesen mu, in the members of my human body. So, corrected translation of our verse. But I discover a different principle in the members of my human body, going to war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law, the principle of the sin nature. Which sin nature is in the members of my human body? All right. Well, I got quite a bit here to pull that all together, what I just said. And we're going to take our break, let you go out, get a treat, refreshment, and come back for part two in a few.